Good morning and a very warm welcome to St Columba's Derry Volgay. You're joining us from the comfort of your homes. You're probably sitting in your pyjamas with a nice mug of coffee. James and I are not jealous at all. But you're very welcome to our first Sunday of Advent. God listens. He is a God who hears our cry. He is a God who turns his face towards us and gives us his full attention. Today, he invites us to speak. If we're in trouble, to pray. If we're happy, to praise him. If we're ill, to ask for help. If we're guilty, to confess. So let's take a moment to remind ourselves that wherever we are this morning, God hears us. A sentence of scripture from Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. A collect for the first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We come to a time of confession. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. We say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our appointed psalm for this first Sunday of Advent is Psalm 80, verses 1 to 8, and then continuing from verse 18 to 20. And if you're sitting at home, we'd love if you would say this along with us. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, you that led Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Stir up your mighty strength and come to our salvation. Turn us again, O God. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. O Lord of hosts, how long will you be angry at your people's prayer? You feed them with the bread of tears. You give them abundance of tears to drink. You have made us the derision of our neighbours, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Let your hand be upon the man at your right hand, the Son of Man, you made so strong for yourself. And so will we not go back from you. Give us life, and we shall call upon your name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. We come to that point in our service where we usually have a talk for the children. So kids, if you are at home, I need you to give your ears a little wiggle because we're going to listen up to something that I have to say today. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for something really special. Do you know what it is? I'm waiting for Christmas. Who else is waiting for Christmas? Who's excited? Sometimes waiting can feel really, really long. But could anybody tell me what this special time of the year in the church year this is called? It's Advent. And Advent is a bit of a funny word, isn't it? Has anyone heard the word before? Today is the first Sunday in Advent. Has anybody got an Advent calendar? Has yours got chocolate in it? What kind of pictures are on the little doors of your Advent calendar? Well, there's lots of pictures that remind us of Christmas. Actually, you can now get Advent calendars in the shops that have Paw Patrol and have Minecraft and loads of different things on them, but they're not really real Advent calendars. But I have a real Advent calendar at home. You see, on my Advent calendar, it's got lots of pictures that remind us of the Christmas story. It's got a picture of an angel to remind us of the angel Gabriel. It's got the picture of a donkey who carried Mary and Joseph. And it's got a picture of the baby Jesus and even the star that guided the wise men. What are the numbers for on those little doors on the pictures? What do you think they're for? They remind us how many days there are until Christmas. Do you ever count up to something, or you're counting down to when you're going on holiday or to when it's your birthday? But how many people know how many days it is to Christmas? Can you tell me? It's 26 days to Christmas now. And we call the time from now to Christmas Advent. And ad means to, and vent means come. To come, there's something really important coming. It's a time when we prepare for someone very, very important to come. Who knows who that important person is? It's Jesus, you're right. The church is counting down the days when we remember Jesus' birth. And like any important event, there's lots of preparations to be made. We're making preparations for our Christmas services in church, but maybe at home you're making some preparations too. Maybe you've started writing your Christmas cards, or you're starting to put your Christmas tree up. Maybe you're looking at buying and wrapping different presents. But we can be very busy whenever we are preparing for holidays like Christmas. Whenever we're preparing our Christmas dinner and the presents and seeing family. But we need to remember not to get so busy that we forget the main reason for all the preparations. Christmas is the time when we celebrate Jesus' birth and we thank God for the hope, peace, joy and love that Jesus brings to all of our lives. In some churches, you might see them today lighting a candle, and right up until Christmas Day, they will light an Advent candle. And the candle for the first Sunday of Advent is a candle of hope. It reminds us how Jesus brings hope into our lives. The white candle is the Christ candle, and that will remind us of the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day, the most precious gift any of us could ever have this Christmas. So the things that we get under the tree this year, the things for Christmas, they'll not last. We'll grow out of our Christmas clothes. We'll probably get a little bit bored of some of our toys after a while. But the things that we get for Christ at Christmas will always last. And that is hope, peace, joy and love will go with us all of our life. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Advent, for the time that we prepare for Christmas, for the birth of your Son Jesus. Father, in the midst of the hustle and bustle, help us not to be too busy to remember to include you in our preparations. As we get ready with expectations of what might be a little bit different Christmas this year, we pray that you would within us remind us of the hope, joy, love and peace that you bring to us this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, Amen.
The reading is taken from James chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 13, in a passage entitled The Prayer of Faith. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner away from his error will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. We turn at this stage to God's Word. It's in James chapter 5, as we've already heard. This is the fourth in our series on whole life worship. Today, we're thinking about how worship inspires our everyday speech, how what it is that we say and do really can be an act of worship for God, and how we gather together inspires our everyday speech, wherever it is that we are. So we looked at living sacrifice way back on week one, what it means to give all of ourselves to God. We looked at a refreshed vision of what worship is, that the Lord would refresh a new vision of worship within us, that we would see the daily mundaneness of everyday life as something that we can turn into worship for him. And we saw that last week that worship transforms our very actions. Everything that we do is transformed whenever our focus is on the Lord. I'm not sure about you, but maybe you have heard that little phrase or that little chorus, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. I wonder if you changed that to say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. How true do you believe that to be? Is that something that you think is true or not? Do words harm us? Well, I actually think words matter. I think words matter an awful lot. What it is that we say, the language that we use, how we phrase things, even right the way down to who it is that we're talking to, whether we use their name or not. Words really matter. In fact, words can be the overflow of our heart. See, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, In that verse, Jesus says that what's in our hearts will bubble up and overflow out of our mouths. And so actually the attitude of our heart is often seen and shown by how we live and speak. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words will never harm us. Whenever I was younger, I had one particular teacher at school who, the words that she used over me were never really positive. They were normally negative. Boyd, are you going to find inspiration out the window on what it is that's on my blackboard? Boyd, you're never going to amount to anything. Boyd, you're too stupid to be at this school. And whether I like it or not, those words still are a memory within me, because we find it hard to set them to the side. But whenever we find our identity in Christ, we begin to realize that our identity is not from another person, it is from Him, that we begin to have the audience of one. We begin to look towards Him for what it is that we need. And I wonder, have you ever been in a moment where you have wanted to change what it is that you've just said? I know I find myself in that situation often. I walk away from a conversation, I think, oh, I should have said that differently. Or, oh, I should have remembered to say that. Or, oh, I should have remembered, oh, I really shouldn't have used that word. And we can feel guilty. We can beat ourselves up about it. And that's why today we want to look at how our worship can inspire our everyday speech. What we do is we gather together, whether that's in person, well, certainly not this week or next week, but whether that's online or in person, or we gather as God's people to worship Him. How does that affect our everyday speech? How does that affect what it is that you say on a Monday or on a Wednesday or on a Friday? See, whenever we worship, whenever our focus is for the audience of one and our focus is for Him, we draw closer to God. And whenever we do that, we are more acutely aware of our own words and actions. And in old-fashioned Christian speak, if you like, we are convicted by the Holy Spirit of what it is that we are saying. There's a moment where maybe we, those who are not believers might say that's just your conscience. But actually, I believe that the Holy Spirit can fix me of those words and those actions that are not quite right. And the closer I am to God, the more acutely aware I am of that conviction. The more acutely aware I am whenever I don't quite say what I should. So what do we see in this passage from James today? Well, firstly, we see that all seasons of life are included. Look at verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is any one of you happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. There's a whole other sermon in there in terms of, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Why does God not heal everyone? That's for another day. But in those few verses, we see that all seasons of life are included. Whether you're in trouble, whether it's happiness, whether you're ill, all seasons of life are included in our worship. We look through the Psalms, we can see that from King David. In all aspects of his life, no matter where he found himself, what season he found himself in, he found worship in God. So no matter what you're going through, there is space for worship. Catherine Scott has a song called Sing on the Battlefield. I encourage you to look it up and have a listen to it. It's actually on our Spotify list, so if you went into that, you would see it. Sing on the battlefield, even in the midst of the battle. Whenever we sing, our focus changes. Whenever we sing and worship to the Lord, whenever we offer all of ourselves to Him, not just songs, if we worship all of ourselves to Him, the battle around us is changed because we are bringing His presence into the situation. And so it's in those everyday moments that we have the audience of one. In every season of life, the audience of one will make us worship. Secondly, everyone's included. It's not just every season of life, but everyone is included. You can see that through those verses that I read a little minute ago. Whether you're young or old, whether it's an elder in the church, or whether it's you're just a member of the church, whether you are ill or not, whether you need to confess your sins or to be forgiven, it doesn't matter of our status. Everyone is included. We are called actually to do this together. There's a moment of relationship in these verses as well. If you're unwell, you're to call the leaders of your church to pray for you. If you know that you have done something wrong, then we are to confess those things, not only before the Lord, but before each other, because that helps. Then we have other people to walk alongside us and to encourage us, where sometimes guilt and despair and shame could overwhelm us. You and I, we were made for relationship. We were made for relationship. So all seasons of life are included. Everyone is included. And we see, thirdly, that the words are directed to God who hears. Look at verse 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Whenever we pray, the Lord hears. We worship a God who wants us to talk to him. Every little helps, as a well-known supermarket would say. Another commercial comedy would say, it's good to talk. God wants to hear what's in your heart. So how you worship will affect your speech. How your focus shifts to him will affect what it is that you say. Why? Because how we worship, how our hearts are changed in worship, how we shift our focus towards God for an audience of one, as Jesus has already said, it flows and bubbles up out as the overflow of our hearts. How you incline your heart towards God will dramatically affect your speech. And that goes two ways. It goes two ways. One, sometimes it might hold you back in your speech and you think, I shouldn't say that. Other times, because of the worship you have for him, because you're living for the audience of one, because your perspective is shifting in terms of the everydayness of life and giving God thanks and praise within it, you'll become more bold in your speech for him. You will find opportunities in your conversations to turn them around, to speak about Jesus. And we find ourselves in unprecedented times. That's a phrase that's bandied about, isn't it? Unprecedented times. The opportunities are immense. The opportunities are immense. So be bold in your prayers and in your speech. For God, be bold in releasing your heart before him and see that that affects your everyday speech. It's time to worship him. Let's pray. Father, help us to see that in all that we do, think and say, as we incline our ears, our eyes and our hearts towards you, it affects every other aspect of our lives. And so we offer it all to you in this moment, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. The Advent story of hope and mystery, anticipation, preparation, a kingdom of this world and the next, and a king appearing when we least expect, heaven touching earth, the footsteps of the divine walking on dusty roads as they once did in Eden, and a people searching for a saviour and walking past the stable. Open eyes and hearts, that this might be an advent of hope for our world. Our gracious God and Father, creator of all that is good, we give you our utmost thanks for all the blessings in this life. In troubled times, our eyes may find it hard to see these blessings as our vision is clouded. Grant us an attitude of thankfulness for all that you provide. We pray for those whom essential things such as food, clothing, clean water, and heat are considered a luxury. We pray for the work of organisations such as Food Bank in this season, that hope and love would shine through all the work that they do. O God, your rule extends over all the earth, yet you have given authorities to the leaders of our nations. Lord, we may not always understand their decision making or lack of. We may not be able to comprehend why they make such decisions. But we trust that you, our Father in heaven, are ruler of all. We pray for each of our rulers and those advising them. Grant them wisdom and discernment, and grant us patience and compassion as they face difficult tasks in the days ahead. Lord, we bring to mind our family members, especially those whom we have not seen for some time. We pray that by your Spirit they would feel an awakened sense of your presence with them. We call to mind those in our church family, those who are ill, those who are grieving. We pray for your blessing, comfort, and healing touch upon each one. We pray this morning especially for local schools, for businesses, for the self-employed and unemployed, for children, for all in our local community. In this time away from each other, equip us and remind us of your strength and power. Although we are distant from one another, remind us that we are rooted in our love for you. God of hope, who brought love into this world, be the love that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought peace into this world, be the peace that dwells between us. God of hope, who brought joy into this world, be the joy that dwells between us. God of hope, the rock we stand upon, be the centre, the focus of our lives, always and particularly this Advent time. We join together in the prayer our Father once taught us, saying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Just before we end our service today, there is a couple of announcements. All of our ministries are now online, so that includes our youth, our kids and life group. If you need any of the links to any of these, you can contact James or I, or there is links on our Facebook and on our website. The Christmas food hampers continue to be collected this year, as St. Columba's Dairy Volga, we are donating chaleur and sugar. So if you have any of that you would like to donate, the church will stay open on a Tuesday from 10 to 12, where you can drop that stuff in. Stay connected, stay safe, and if there is anything that you need, our contact details are on our website. As we go this morning, a blessing. May God the Father, judge all merciful, make us worthy of a place in his kingdom. May God the Son, coming among us in power, reveal in our midst the promise of his glory. May God the Holy Spirit make us steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. Amen.
Is she gone? What she didn't tell you was that she's getting married this Saturday. They were planning to get married in July, but that was put forward or put back because of COVID until January. But now it's been brought forward until next week. So this Saturday coming, the 5th of December, Sarah Crawford will become Sarah Parkinson as she marries Daniel. We want to wish her all the best, her and Daniel all the best, on behalf of everybody here for St. Columba's and Dara Volga. I want to pray for them as a couple now. Father God, thank you for the way in which Sarah and Daniel have implanted themselves into this community of faith, the way in which Sarah serves sacrificially and in such a gifted way in this place. As they come forward to be united as one, we pray that that day there will be a blessing upon them, a blessing that not only restores love within them, but builds a strong foundation of a three-stranded cord that enables that they stay strong forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And we all said hip hip, hip hip, hip hip. Great, thank you.